Good evening. I don't know whether to laugh. I guess I do laugh. Wherever I go anymore, wearing my black and my black cushions, I take my white dog hair with me. I have to learn to keep a roller or something. So, Angie's in Texas, I think, visiting her sons. Her family, I believe that's where she is. And then next week, she'll be leading a Shoshin at Huckabee in Boulder, Colorado, Memorial Shoshin for Coben. Or I might have it the other way around, but she's away. So. Been thinking a lot about Sangha. What does Sangha mean to me? What does Sangha mean in the practice? And curious also what Sangha means to you. Sangha is one of the three treasures, the first being Buddha. Second being Dharma, and the third, Sangha. Thich Nhat Hanh, I like this little verse that he has about the three jewels, the three treasures. I take refuge in the Buddha, the one who shows me the way in his life. In this life, I take refuge in the Dharma, the way of understanding and love. I take refuge in the Sangha, the community that lives in harmony and awareness. I know when I first walked into the Friends meeting house, I knew that I was looking for a teacher, and the bonus point was that a Sangha came along with it. So I knew that I wanted a teacher, but I didn't realize the importance or the significance of a Sangha. At that point, I'd been sitting alone for several years. And I went to Shoshin that year. And Shoshins take a lot of work. It takes a lot of people to run it. It's essentially a monastic setting. Somebody has to wake us up. Somebody has to be sure that we all have beds, food, you know, firewood if we need it, incense. It takes a lot of people to do that. And for me, realizing that, and I find also I still reflect quite a bit on the roles that we have at Shoshin or the roles that we have here. Since we don't have a temple, a lot of the same functions have to be done. But Shoshin in particular is where I really have been feeling, and I guess I was surprised about it, is how intimate the Sangha can be, how important it is. Specifically, the example comes to mind is just a few years ago. I sat in Arcata, and it was, I think it was the first Shoshin. I think maybe Ritu and I went up there that one year. That was several years ago, I think. So, sitting with people that I didn't know on each side of me. And, but knowing that there's somebody on each side of you, I don't know, it helped me sit. It helped me show up on my cushion. I mean, even tonight, knowing that I was sitting here, I wanted to sit even though my knee was bothering me. If I were at home, I'd just stick it out, go like this, you know, and then I'd sit back down. My dog was barking, I'd probably get up and see what my dog is barking at. But when we have a doe on, if I have a doe on and I'm sitting with a group, I'm sitting. I'm going to sit that full 40 minutes. Even if I sometimes think the doe on goes to sleep, I'm just going to sit like everybody else. So up at Arcata, it was, I missed introductions or something or wasn't paying attention. So I didn't really know who was sitting on each side of me. And so one day I was sitting there and the person to my right, I think it was about the third day in, started to cry. I'm sitting and then the next period started again, and I think I snuck one of my Kleenexes over. And then the next day, I sat there and I cried during one session. There was something sweet about the sitting and showing up and being held up. At the end of Shishin, we were saying our gratitude for Angie and each other. And the person that was sitting to my right said, I would never have made it without the two people sitting next to me. I'm like, well, just a minute here. I would never have made it without the two people sitting next to me, which I didn't even know their names. But by the end of the week, I knew their footsteps into the zendo. I knew how they breathed. I know how their nose sounds after they've been crying a while. It was like this... It was intimate. I don't know what to say about it. And of course, the person to my left said, well, I was crying too. You just didn't even know I was crying, and I couldn't have made it without you two holding me up either. It was just really, it was just really kind of sweet. It sometimes can be even at Shishins that I can sit and never know the people that are sitting next to me. They'll come in. And after even a day or a few sits, it's the same thing. You know when they're, how they come into the zendo. You know how they fluff their cushion up, or you just know. I mean, what else is going on? You know, I'm sitting with myself facing the wall, so I know. And they leave. And I never know what their name is. And it's a very interesting thought. Because in that sense, all those people, and when I'm lucky, like up at Arcata, I've got to know them, they're Sangha. In the case of the person I didn't get to know, are they Sangha? I believe they are. There's something about the group. One, as I mentioned or implied, you can't keep things going without other people. The shashins, you know, can't be done, or a temple can't be run without other people in a sangha. In my private practice, in my writing workshops as a group, when we get together, we call it accelerated learning, actually, because we all come together and share experiences, like experiences. Which is really different with this Zen practice of sitting and facing the wall. It can seem very impersonal. I mean, I think I knew Rit too for 3 years before I knew what she did. Russ, I'm not quite sure. And, you know, it's okay. That's okay. It's, but I feel I know rest really well. So it's not, there's something about the groups and about sharing and the type of learning that we do with each other. It's kind of odd. How, for me, as I've been reflecting on how it can be so personal and intimate. I mean, my family, I don't sit shashin with my family. Even my best friends that I've known for a long time. You know, I sit shashin with you all. It's a very, very intimate. Very, special opportunity to be together. And it's not like any other group that I have. I don't really, so like everything else in Zen, I guess it's that paradox. I wanted to share just a couple things about, you know, Sangha, you know, what is this? I'm not very organized tonight, but it's been kind of a trend going on in my life recently. Reb Anderson from his book Upright, he writes, in the narrowest sense, Sangha refers to the community of monks and nuns. This meaning can be expanded to include all of those who study and practice the Buddha Dharma, and can even embrace all those who love the triple treasure, even if they don't study or practice Buddhist teaching. Furthermore, in a very important sense, Sangha can be understood as a field of refuge. All those beings we turn to for support, encouragement, and teaching us in our practice of the Dharma. This might even include people who are intentionally cruel to us, if we can understand that they are our great teachers. In the widest sense, Sangha includes all beings and indicates the harmonious interdependence of all beings. A couple years ago, Vanya came to Jikoji, and he... one day he talked about the triple treasures. He said that Sangha usually referred to the community of Buddhist practitioners, and that's how it was in the narrowest sense. Again, maybe all Buddhists or all spiritual seekers. But in the deepest sense, the Sangha reminds us of the fact we are a part of the whole thing, that we are not separate, that we belong, that we are not outside of it. We are tiny little cells or figures or wheels in this big, big happening. And we are a part of it. We belong to it. And we are at home here for the moment. This is a very important concept these days, where we have become so powerful that we can actually destroy a lot of that network that allows our being. So that's the Sangha of all of it. The water, the trees, the wood, the buildings, the roads, the animals, China, everything. Things I don't even know the names of. So in the sense I shared, I get that the Sangha, I really get the group support. Well, group support, that doesn't quite sound right. But the support that I receive during shashins, that is where Sangha to me really shows up. For me, it just really I guess it's tangible. In another sense that I feel that there is a potential, or where Sangha is really important to me, and again very special and intimate, is when that there is somebody else that knows of this practice, which, oh, by the way, as Angie's point out to us, this is a very small minority of people in the Bay Area coming to sit and look at the walls for 40 minutes periods at a time. But a place or a group of people or a person that understands that practice, has partaked in that practice, and then you're able to talk to them about how the practice has affected your life, and or how do you live your life per the precepts, per the three treasures? How do you live your life while reflecting on the Bodhisattva vows? It's not like a conversation I have with my husband over the dinner table as a non-practicer, nor Thanksgiving. Nor with most of my friends or casual friends or peers. The people that really would understand that would be people that I sit with or come together and talk to hear Angie. That's what Thich Nhat Hanh, I mean, when he says that, he talks about it, and I didn't get around to finding the article, and I think that he's written a whole book on this about how sanghas to live, about the idea of essentially being a mirror to each other, a mirror of behavior, you know. What are you doing skillfully? What aren't you doing skillfully? And that it, in that way, that we can learn from each other. It's when we rub up against each other where intimacy again can come about. More so than if we don't say anything at all to each other. Which again is another very interesting thing. Because in a monastic setting, you know, you're there to be reflective. Or, you know, in a monastic setting, and in fact it's very interesting reading parts of this book by Robert Aiken and David Stendhal Ross talking about monastic practice. I mean, like at the end of Shashin, and we can start talking, I don't want a lot of superficial talk. I don't need any of that. I want, I have a desire for something maybe more brief, more true, more sincere. And so living, you know, in this practice, we don't need to have, you know, I don't know, I appreciate not having a lot of talking. I appreciate it that you don't ask me if, you know, at how my husband is every night, or if I paid my bills on time, or stuff like that. I kind of appreciate it, because I come to sit with y'all. I come to practice. So it's that kind of fine line, you know, where does a friendship happen? And in many monasteries, from what I understand, they don't allow friendships. I'm like, what? You know? Well, what they're talking about, they don't want you to have, you know, exclusive little, you know, cliques or friendships that excludes other people. They don't want you getting to be buddies. They don't want you to go off and have an affair. They don't, you know, they want you to be able to practice. without those kind of interferences. Anyway, that's what I've been thinking about. And of course I come with all kinds of materials and references, but I think that's enough for that. So what is your definition or expectation or thoughts about Sangha? How can a Sangha support you or not? Who is your Sangha? Is it everyone in the room? Well, there's a lot of people that can't come every week. Joyce, Nancy, for me, they're part of the Sangha, the supporters of the Sangha, of the practice. Do the people that sit with Angie on a regular basis in Arcata, are they our Sangha? I don't know. Sharon.
I don't have an exact answer for that question.
Well, there's just
a lot of thoughts that came up while I'm talking. And most of the thoughts came up around Sesshin, because there was a period of several years when I sat a lot of Sesshins at Jikoji. And they were Jikoji Sesshins. And most of them were people who did not live at Jikoji, like I didn't. So this would be people who would come up for anything from, you know, a few hours to the whole Sesshin and leave, and come back another time and leave. But my experience has been that people become, like you were talking about, you called it intimacy, you know, become very bonded. Once they've sat Sesshin together, there's a connection there, whether they've said a word to each other or not, there's a connection there that can't be described and that's definitely strong. And, you know, it's funny you say, I didn't know what Ritu did. There were a lot of people there that I didn't know what they did, and then sometimes I would hear people talking about so-and-so's wife, and da-da-da, and I'm like, how did they know that? But I guess they had time to talk about all these other things at different times. And, you know, I didn't really socialize with most of those people, but I felt very close to them. We were always very happy to see each other when we were both there. And I remember this one guy who I really disliked. I didn't like things he said. I didn't like what I felt his attitude was. There were just a lot of things about him I disliked. And I don't think he liked me either. But we would come to Sesshin and we would be so happy to see each other. Because we were there sitting together. And so all the rest of that stuff is just extra.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't mean that afterwards I had to go be his best friend. But at Sesshin, you know, we were together. So there's a really, and when I sat Sesshin with Floating Zendo, the first time I came to Floating Zendo, I don't know if I knew anybody other than Angie. And I think Dan Miller was there for a day or something like that. I knew him from before. But when I came back to Sesshin the next year, I felt like, oh yeah, and people greeted me like they remembered me, and it was just really nice because there was that bond we had sat Sesshin together. So, you know, that's just my Sesshin comments. And you know, whatever happens in Sesshin happens in Sesshin, and then you know we continue on, and it's okay. So the Sangha that I considered, at least my Sangha, you know, the people who come to Jikoji, a lot of them don't anymore, or they're different places. And then some of them come back, you know, whenever I make it back there. But anyway, that's...
So, you know, when you like me, we go back and forth. Like, I'll be at Jikoji, you know, like last Sunday I'll be Jikoji, and now I'm here, and then Saturday I'll be here, and Sunday I'll be at Jikoji, and when I introduce myself, it's always pretty much, well, you know, I sit weekly with the floating Zendo and, you know, to Koji, you know. I mean, because I feel that, yeah, I mean, if everyone that I've ever sat with is my Sangha. So do you kind of, I mean, or is it the Sangha only exists where we are at that moment?
Well, see, I guess I haven't thought about it so much as Sangha. I mean, I guess I've practiced so long at Jikoji that that's the place I think of as where I sit. And yet, you know, since I've had Tuesday evenings free for a while, I've been coming here, I guess, because of the energy. Because it's a little far from me.
It is.
But the other thing is, in terms of talking with people, you know, I do a lot of my Jewish practice now, but people who I know, even there, who have done Buddhist meditation or, you know, insight meditation, which is essentially very similar, you know, same basic, whatever, you can talk with them and think a little different way. And so communication and the things we say and the assumptions we kind of make about life, and that's putting it in words, which is always kind of throws me off end from what I'm really trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the difference, you know, the Buddhist practice has informed all the rest of my life, including my Jewish practice. You know, I look at everything in a different way. Other people who I know who've done meditation, you know, they come from a little bit that kind of, I'm not saying that like in Jewish practice you don't get deep, but it's a different kind of.
Yeah.
There is something special about it.
Yeah, thank you, Sharon.
When I first started, I originally sat at Dharma Datu, and I never thought of it this way, but the real reason I left the Dharma Datu, I never put the word Sangha on it. It was essentially that I didn't like the Sangha. I like the individuals.
We have different dynamics and the different characters. I don't know if I mentioned it to you all, but went to the woman's retreat with Angie, I don't know, way back earlier this month or something, I can't remember, last month. And they had three teachers there, Angie, I think, shared with you. It was Grace. I can see her name, but I can't say it. She is the, in fact, she's going to be installed as the formal abbot up at Empty Nest Sendo. She's originally from Berkeley. Darlene Cohen, she's from San Francisco Zen Center. Originally, her teacher was Richard Baker, and then I think she was transmitted also by Berkeley. And then Angie, and their students, plus some. And it was interesting because you could actually talk and meet with somebody and know who their teacher was. So we just had these little, you know, you can just kind of tell, I guess, the tribe or something. Or, you know, it was just very interesting by personality. So, of course, in the truest sense, in the absolute sense, you know, it's all Sangha. There is no separation. And I find it interesting of, you know, what happens here, you know, as this Sangha that keeps this place going. And expectations that we have, if you have, of each other or not. I know that we've lost a couple members because we weren't friendly enough. We weren't social enough. Because that's important. And some spiritual groups are more social. Just more thoughts. Anyone else?
Well, I will use this as a segue to announcement. I've been thinking about our impending loss of a Sangha member. What is that?
Yeah.
Is she still going to be in our circle?
Yeah.
Speaking of Jen.
She's going to be moving to Toronto.
Yes.
After Shasheen.
Right after Shasheen.
McDonald. Yeah.
Toronto?
But that's not because we weren't friendly.
Lawrence in Toronto.
Yeah.
Should make sure they.
Yeah, I think they've already have to some. Huh? Yeah. She's just state. Yeah, just temporarily. They sold their house and had to be out of it, and she didn't want to go to Toronto and then go come back to Shoshin. So she talked her husband into sticking around to Shoshin. Then they're leaving, I think, August 17th. But I mean, that's a key person. I mean, person that had roles and have done things and cooks really good.
Sewing teacher. It's hard. It's really hard for you to but if you want to be happy and, you know, and try and live closer to the land and have a little more freedom to be creative. So we wish them happiness because they're really special people. And we are going to have a little send-off on August 4th. We're not sure exactly what we're going to do, but since James is not here tonight, we could make, we have a card to pass around, a sign, we're going to take a group picture, and if anybody has any ideas for another observance, we could, anything we could do on the Tuesday before Shoshin that we're going to
Yeah, we could be social.
Do something. Can we get the
back
room? This may or may not be a great consolation, but my connection here was through Jane.
Mm-hmm.
If Jane hadn't been there, then I probably wouldn't be here either. So I am a very good cook. Not that I can replace her, but maybe it's a small consolation to have another member now that
can
replace Jane.
Yeah, you can always use more cooks.
Person that introduced me to Angie also no longer is here, and in fact no longer practices, which really kind of threw me for a loop. And it's it's really bittersweet seeing people come and people go. And I know Wendy and Russ, you've been probably coming a long time. I figured out that the Floating Zendo, the name, it's been 10 years. The first newsletter, I think, was summer of 1999. It was the first newsletter for the Floating Zendo. Russ is going, has it been that long? What's going on? It probably was. It probably has been. Because I think that Yeah, I think you're right. I think you guys all sat before. And even did you sit at like Angie's place, or was always sat here?
We used to face in. We didn't face out. We used to face everybody. We face each other. And Angie came up with an idea. Okay, you're all facing the wall now. What the?
All those Zen people.
So change happens, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So Russ, what are you? You've got any thoughts or questions or what Sangha means for you or how you've seen?
Well,
Floating Zendo Sangha, or
it just happens, you know. There's a lot of mean, I can see it, but the hand can't grasp it. Mm-hmm. But yet it's there, and yet it goes. You know.
Yeah.
It just happens.
Yeah, at first it really upset me every time somebody left or never came back, and Angie just had to, that's the way it is. It's change. This is how it happens.
And sometimes we'll have somebody in the group that, you know, really gives a lot of themselves, like Jane or other people, become so critical, and sometimes we even burn them out because they're so burdened.
Yeah, I was thinking of a couple of people.
Which is not very good. And losing a key person like Jane in the group, she really contributes a lot. So it's, if we have somebody in the ranks coming up, and that's a tough reality in this Sangha, is that we don't have many people coming up in the ranks. You know? Mm-hmm. You've got to get lucky, like dice is thrown, you know, there's somebody that appears.
And Ben's a good cook, yeah.
Well, sure
no, I know what you mean, Russ. Huh.
I left and I came back. So
that's true. Mm-hmm. You did come back.
Yes.
The two I came back.
Oh, well, we'll have to have a double party then. Yeah. The party we forgot to have for you two.
We knew no, she'd
but,
be back.
Well,
she didn't even notice she'd gone.
I wasn't even here. So.
Anyway. But it's after
you. Oh, shoot.
Well, can we continue talking about doing something for Jane? Would that be a good day to do that?
It's like the, it's only like the last time she's leaving. That's it.
She will be here this that Tuesday?
Yeah, we'll tell her to be here.
Wendy's going to be sure she gets her here.
So should we do it here, or can I offer my home, or?
I think we can do it here.
Yeah, it's easier.
I think also Wendy's looking for ideas too, so if you got some kind of idea,
so she can communicate. Sashin?
She's our Tenzo.
Or we can have it at Sashin too.
We'll also say goodbye a little bit. Mm-hmm.
But this would be a separate thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Because not everybody will be at Sashin.
Right. Okay. And the end of Sashin is sort of. Have you ever come into a group on the last day of Sashin? I did that once. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't realize it when you're in the group because the whole group is moved.
Yeah,
okay?
It shifts.
I mean, the whole group has literally moved. So you're still over here and you walk over to this group and you really don't want to disturb it, but mm-hmm. you're not really in it either.
Yeah, it's different. Again, it's because of the experience that's been going on. Yeah. Okay, so announcements. So Saturday's a half day sit, 9 to 12. All open, and we'll be having a short memorial service in honor of Coben and Maya. And then the following week, we'll meet here and we'll discuss more ideas what to do and or pictures and card following week. And then August 4th, send-off for Jane, and the 5th is a study group at my house. It'd be the last of the chapters of Sandokai. And then Sashin.
And then the 7th is Sashin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm still opening my studio. It's on Mondays and Wednesdays, and it's been wonderful having company both days once they find my house. And well, thank you for letting me share some thoughts, and maybe we can talk a little bit more or just continue to be who we are in support of each other. Yeah, and the last day of Sashin is the Shuso ceremony, which I would love to see all of you there if you can. Good excuse, get out of work, come up.
Do you want to tell people what it is?
Is
there a question? I would.
So there's a question. It's a cool. I saw it with Carolyn. It's like with Carolyn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, explain it. Yeah.
So very cool. And Angie didn't explain it very well. So, so you sit.
She will be sitting.
She will be sitting and
alone.
And we will come
with a stick.
With a stick.
And she has to hit herself with when she misses up.
And then people ask questions. We sit in front of her and ask questions. And she has to answer them. And so I think it's good for her.
And
for
not just any old question like, what do you think of Sangha? Questions that you think are going to trip her up.
What's
question
the
you
of
think
life?
Is going to be really difficult for her to come up with a good answer to. Well,
thanks. Thanks. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Sorry to...
A question to trip her up, or a deep...
A question you think is going to be difficult for her to answer.
If you haven't already put me on the edge, you want to put me on the edge.
Now, it could also be the question that's this hot question that's been in your mind for a while and you need to ask somebody. I mean, you know, but usually it's the shuso is sitting there and has to answer all the questions that get fired at her. Of course... I think here we just do one question each, so it's a little limited. But yeah, you're taking aim.
Yep.
So everybody who's sitting in sashimi, the whole sashimi is either whatever we're going to ask, which is actually the last day.
By then.
Or sometimes you think of it just at the last minute. Because you're on this one, you've got to ask the question.
So I'm doing my best not to think about it.
That's the best thing to do. There's no other way to prepare. That's the best. And because she can't sit there thinking about it. She's supposed to answer.
Theoretically.
Did they do it that way with Carolyn?
Carolyn. We did. It was good. It was good. Worked really well.
Dilly.
Carolyn Dilly. Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm.